and two.
What about the mail?
Let's talk about the old timers.
Oh, old timer Carl Frank.
Some of the interesting people that came to Wiseman and different nationalities and things.
Yeah.
They came through Wiseman in those days. Some of them
Carl Frank is from Germany.
Uh-huh. How about
he
Carl?
Came from Germany. He had a roadhouse they called Carl Frank. It's down by Tramway Bar, right down below Tramway Bar. And he ran a roadhouse there. Then he mined over in Goldquick, I think, a little bit. And then he moved up to Wiseman. That's where he made his home.
About what year did he come to the country, do you know?
Way back there.
1900?
Yeah. Pete Dow and Henry Pingle came. Pete Dow is from outside, and Henry's from, I don't know, he's German fellow. And he married Mrs. Pingle. She used to missionary out on Kodiak. They got married. And who else? Let me see. Jack Hood is one.
How about Jack Hood? What was he like?
He's a great big heavyset guy. And he do a lot of freighting. More freighting than anything. There, through the years, he lived there in Wiseman, hauling wood. He had a horse. And he hauled wood for the village.
Whatever happened to Carl Frank?
He passed away with 96. Passed away in Fairbank.
He stayed in Wiseman up until almost the
end? Yeah, about 2 weeks after he went over that he passed away. Dead right there. Did all his own work, too, in 96.
Did he have a garden?
Yes, he had a big garden. He had a big garden.
Did he have his own meat?
Huh?
He got his own meat?
No. No, we give him meat. We take him meat. No.
Did he have a wife or family?
No. He didn't have a wife.
Most of them didn't have wives?
No. I had one, like Albert Ness. The time of the earthquake at San Francisco. His aunt, no, he had two small daughters. Their aunt came and got them. And they went back to their house, aunt's house, and that earthquake was still going on, and he got his wife on board the boat and went out in the bay there. And when they got back, I think it was next day they looked and never did find them.
Find who?
His daughters.
The two daughters?
Yeah.
Were swallowed up in the earthquake?
Yeah. The two daughters and the aunt, the whole group of them, never did find them. So he came up and he went to Dawson and he worked there.
Did he leave his wife then?
Yeah, he left his wife and he was trying to make her come up, you know, into her life. She broke up on this, losing the two daughters.
So did she die?
She died, and then he came back up and ended up in Wiseman. Stayed there.
Was that the one they called Ness?
Yeah, Albert Ness.
He was from Sweden?
I guess so. He never stayed about that part.
Now, he lived the rest of his life up there.
Yeah, he lived the rest of his life right there.
And he had a beautiful garden.
Yeah, beautiful garden. Always have beautiful garden.
How did he make a living?
He mined. He mined up on Hammond, mostly. Till he wasn't able to. Mm-hmm. But mining.
He never married again?
No. No.
He lived a long life, too.
Yeah, really long life. He was up in the 80s when he passed on. Over in Sitka, I think.
Did you used to go to help him? Didn't you used to go help him occasionally?
Yeah. I took care of him there one spring. Cook for him and cook breakfast. Dinner, I'd take it up to him, and supper, I'd take it up to him. With breakfast, I cooked there. And quite a way. Have to walk. Had a broken arm, too, at the time I helped him.
They could live very inexpensively, though, couldn't they, in my
opinion? Yeah, They didn't have electricity and stuff like that. The wood had to be gathered, though. Mm-hmm. It has to be chopped in the spring, and then after the snow is off, piled up, and then hauled in the fall, and then for the whole winter. And then that's it, they buy kerosene. Mm-hmm. Get kerosine. That's that. I think he used kerosene mostly. All of them do.
They lived, they were pretty healthy to live that long, weren't they, most of them?
Yeah, they were real brown. Mm-hmm. Real healthy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did. My stomach.
What about, say, old Huey Boyle? I remember hearing about
Huey Boyle. He come from San Francisco, I'm sure.
He did too.
Yeah, and he lived long enough. He mined up on Nolan, I think. Nolan Christmas. Yeah, who? They have a creek there. They call her Hugh Boyle's Pup, though. He mined up on Nolan. Had mining brown there.
He came in because he, too, was a miner.
Yeah. He ran a dance hall.
A dance hall?
Uh-huh. Outside somewhere, in San Francisco, I'm sure. Very good dancer.
Well, did he kind of organize the dances at Wiseman?
Not too much. George Eaton did that. Hmm. He's an old timer, too.
How long did Huey Boyle live to be?
He was up in the 80s, too. They all hit up in the 80s up there.
Do you think that they lived longer because of the outdoor life and the...
Yeah, they don't have this hurry-up running.
Mm-hmm. Not as much stress.
No, if they have to go someplace, they have to get up early in the morning and start walking. They don't have dog team. They have dog team where the dogs will take them. Mm-hmm. But most of them do all the walking.
Did most of them keep, say, even one dog as a pet?
Or? Yeah, maybe, yeah, and then they pull them together to haul meat or something.
Uh-huh.
Mm. They go out in September, they used to go out in September, way over in Transfork and gather their meat and cash it, and then after freeze up, they go and haul it in.
I see.
Yeah.
How far away was Southport?
I don't know, from Crowfoot over there. You make it in one day over there if it's good trail. Not good trail, you make it to Slate Creek. Mm. And then from Slate Creek into Southport.
In the summer you followed just a path or a trail?
Yeah, just a path.
And in the winter, it was a dog team.
Yeah. You would go through muskeg water and stuff. Have to have boots on and walk through there.
Mm-hmm. Hughie Boyle was Irish, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Now, but you had some people from Yugoslavia, too.
Yeah, there were quite a few from Yugoslavia.
How did they happen to come up there?
They were mining in flat. They happened to move up in there. Oh, they're congregated down in Porcupine. Now I live down there.
Porcupine?
Uh-huh.
What were some of their names?
George and Steve Bajanis, not brothers, Mrs. Bajanis, Bojanis. Simon O'Brien Stanis, Tom Kovic.
Martin Slisko.
Pete Radish.
Pete Radish?
Mm-hmm.
Martin Slisko?
No. He was up on, mostly on Myrtle Creek. Him and Jack Slisko.
Oh, they were brothers?
They were cousins. And then they mined up in Nolan. After, never go down from there. Who else is that?
Tell about how Martin.
John Papa would.
Tell how Martin went back to his country to get a wife. Tell us about that.
Martin Slisko, he was a miner, and then he ran the roadhouse. And he went back to the old country and brought a young bride back. Real pretty. And
you have three children?
I have three children. And
eventually he was shot, wasn't he?
Yeah, eventually he was shot.
By who did this?
A fellow named Jack Welch. Jack Welch.
What happened to Jack Welch?
They put him outside somewhere.
He went to jail?
Uh-huh. For life.
For life?
Uh-huh.
Why did he do this? Was it a quarrel? Just a quarrel between them?
Yeah. Edmund Sun was from Quebec, from Canada.
He was French.
Huh?
French Canadian.
Yeah, French Canadian. He was Catholic. And he lived up there, he was up there way back there. He ran the store down at La Cacat. Then he went over to Freemason, got that scarf built, brought it back up.
A scowl?
Yeah.
He went into the freighting business?
No, he brought it in for somebody.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember who.
Did he run it himself?
No, he ran it far as there, just delivered. And,
what did he do for a living?
He mined. Mining. I know he mined quite a few years up in Wild River. Then later years, it's 1914, I think. He married Mrs. Mersan.
What was her first name? Mabel.
Mabel. But I can't think of her.
Where did Mabel come from?
Minnesota.
How did she happen to come to Alaska?
I don't know that part.
Uh-huh. She was a good wife there.
Yeah, very good cook. Very good cook.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very good. Then Edmund's son went back to Canada.
Left Mabel?
Yeah. They got divorced before that. I don't have to go on now.
Oh, yeah. Well, what happened to her then?
Turn it off. She. John Bowman worked, had a mining claim up on the Hammond River. Made a lot of money.
What was his name again?
John Bowman.
John Bowman. And uh-huh. He was from where?
From Switzerland. And he made a lot of money there. And he never stayed with the mines. He stayed in town. Lived down there. Just go up and get some money and run back to town again. So then he had a foreman there run his mine. And had quite a time get him to go outside, make a trip outside.
Why was that?
Well, spend his money. Mm-hmm. And there, they got him far as Bell, and he had a poke of gold. And two girls had landed there. Everybody got right in and went right in there and pretend they were drinking. Meantime, they stole his poke away from him, put it in the store.
Was that to protect it?
Yeah, to protect it. So he'd make this trip outside.
Oh, was he going outside for a special reason?
No, just for a trip. They're making him, with all this big money, at least make a trip outside. So he made a trip. He left there. I don't know how far he went.
Did he ever come back?
Yeah, he came back for a while. Then he, last time he settled, he came out of there and he settled in Iliamna Lake. And he was crossing the lake and he fell through the ice. But week after he fell through the ice, he had big money from Switzerland, was left to him. Just about a week, and I don't know where the money went from there.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
He didn't have a wife either?
No, nothing.
Just no family or anything? Was there an awful lot of drinking that went on?
Yeah, but we don't see it.
Uh-huh.
We don't see it. A lot of drinking, but hear a lot of noise.
Was there much fighting?
Not that we know.
Uh-huh.
We never see.
Not too much fighting.
No. We don't know.
Was there much stealing of pokes and things? Occasionally it happened, didn't it?
I guess so.
Uh-huh. But there was a lot of honesty, too.
Yeah.
Because people left their cabins unlocked.
Yeah, we leave our houses unlocked. Nobody found anything. Nothing taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it unlocked and go burying all day.
Mm-hmm.
Back it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get in and rest it.
Tishu, one more thing. Let me see. Most of the people who had come up there during the gold rush left in time, but there were a few that stayed on and on.
Yeah,
and on
they
later.
Stayed on.
Uh-huh.
John Rooney, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Hans Christensen,
who?
For one. Hans Christensen.
Hans Christensen.
Yeah. And they all left, either died off or left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where did most of them who moved on, did they go on to another strike somewhere? Or was that the last
one? They go
one?
To work.
Over to Fairbanks to work?
Yeah, over to Fairbanks. The war there took them all over.
You mean World War
II? Yeah, two.
Uh-huh.
They left for Fairbanks. Just most of them, just a few of them came back.
Uh-huh. The older ones.
Yeah.
Stayed, and a few came back.
Yeah.
Can you tell us just a little bit about Bob Marshall, who wrote the book Arctic Village? You knew him.
Yes. He stayed there. He came in summer. Stayed there till next spring.
Over a year.
Yeah. He stayed there a year. Yeah, you.
He knew everybody in town.
Yeah, he knew everybody. He knew everybody.
Yeah. He was a very brilliant man, wasn't he?
Yeah, very.
Do you know anything of his background?
No, no.
He was very well educated.
Yeah.
But very, very simple and down to earth too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a lot of old Eskimo people there.
Uh-huh.
And I guess some whites, too.
Mm-hmm.
The older ones.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of his book, Arctic Village?
I thought the pictures were great.
What about the writing?
Hmm.
Was it accurate?
Huh?
Was he pretty accurate or not?
Yeah, he gathered everything that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and what was there.
He took it in shorthand?
Yeah.
He must have had a good memory, too.
Memory and shorthand. Shorthand. It's shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
It's right in the palm of his hand.
And most people didn't know it.
No. I caught it.
Did you ever ask him about it?
We were going to take it away from him. He ran from it. And we got a hold of him. We would have... There was five of us. We would have taken it away from him.
He was taking down your conversation.
Yeah. We made a run from it.
But yeah. If you'd gotten it, if it were in shorthand.
Yeah, but we would have got somebody, maybe.
You didn't know while he was there just what he was doing.
No, he was so busy. He was so busy.
He was a scientist and a historian and a sociologist and a naturalist. Many things, wasn't he?
Yeah. Kind of suspicious he was common.
But he came back. He came back to us.
Yeah, he came back and wrote a nice book about the forest. Really nice.
About the mountains.
Yeah. Mountains and about the... I've got the two books.
Uh-huh.
Got them now.
Those are the only two he wrote about the Arctic.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, he took on his expedition, who was it he took with him? Harvey?
Harvey, Kenneth Harvey, Jesse Allen, and Harry Snowden.
Uh-huh.
And, I think two dogs of... One belonged to Harvey and another one belonged to Jess Allen and then, what's it called? Harry Snowden had a couple of dogs with him.
Harry dogs. Snowden was an Eskimo boy.
Yeah, Eskimo.
I noticed there's a Snowden Peak up there. Was that named after
Harry
Snowden?
That's named after him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very handy around a camp like that.
Uh-huh. But they never did... climb Mount Dunarak.
No.
But it was just a solid wall of rock.
It wasn't very hard to climb.
Mm-hmm.
There's a people that had gone after Bart Marshall. They climbed it real fast.
Oh, a party that went in after him?
Yeah, real mountain climbers.
Uh-huh. He wasn't really a mountain climber.
No.
Uh-huh.
No. Or the others went very... No.
But they had quite an interesting trip anyhow,
yeah,
didn't they?
Very, very.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun when they got back, too.
Now, did he have a secretary up there?
No.
I had heard that Alice Stewart was his secretary. Did she help him with the book or something?
No.
No?
No.
She had nothing to do with the book?
No.
Oh.
No. Okay. I gotta get it. This Arctic Village book that Bob Marshall wrote, it was handed out to me our book, and I looked through the pictures, and the pictures were just beautiful. And then we had a dance that night, and I went to this dance, and when I got to this dance, nobody was dancing. They were, he says, I thought you was a good friend of mine, what you said about me in the book. Everybody was after each other.
What happened to the dance?
Nothing. There was no dance.
Because they all got their books and started reading it.
Yeah, and they were reading it, and they were fighting among themselves, and I mean, quite a war that night.
How come you said this?
Yeah. And I thought you was a good friend of mine, and went on like that. I was in the dark on the way through there.
Because you hadn't had a
chance? No, I didn't have a chance to read. And
I'm surprised that Bob Marshall dared to come back.
Yeah, he got back. He got back. Believe me.
They went after him.
Yeah. I said, did you get back to listen some more in the keyhole? When I shook hands with him. I think I was the first one said anything to him when he got back at the airport. Then everybody else, I guess, was after him.
By that time, it had kind of simmered down,
but he would have got his neck broken if
he'd
first
heard it
night
come.
The book came out.
That book eventually became a classic.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. You buy the book now for $21.
If you can get it.
If you can get it. Benny bought me one. We lost all our books up in the north. Left them there. The house got stolen.
Oh.
Yeah. Ready?
Yeah.
Not everyone was old timers. There's Nellie Cashman. She came from Ireland. She traveled all over. She went through Chilicoot Pass, and she come into the Kayako and traveled up and down. And she was a businesswoman of some sort. I don't know what it was.
Mining operation?
Mining, I guess mining. Must be mining. Anyway, last time she came down from Wiseman. She was very ill. Her back hurt her. And we waited on her about 2 weeks till the boat arrived. And that was her last trip up in the cargo.
About how old was Nellie by
then? Oh, she was past 60, more than 60. She was white-headed. And she was a wonderful person to be with. A lot of fun. Even though she was ill, she was a lot of fun. And the boat came, and the steamboat, and then she left.
She had a hot temper.
Yeah, she had, if you cross her a little bit, she had a temper.
An Irish temper.
Yeah.
What was it Bill's father used to say to her?
Oh, he'd say something, and she'd lose her temper, and he'd tell her to keep her shirt on.
That'd make her even madder.
Yeah, make her mad. But even though she isn't terribly mad, everybody took it as a big joke.
Now, Nellie never got married.
No, not that I know of. Not up in there anyway.
She traveled all over.
Yeah, she traveled all over. Now, another story. Another story about my mother told me this when I was a little girl. They spent a winter up in the Latna River. There were two little villages about 3 miles apart. And during the winter, they have masquerade dances. One would come up and have Masquerade, this upper village. And they have prizes to give away, best masquerade. And it's that. Then they finally stop for lunch, midnight lunch, I guess. The dance quit, and they were having midnight lunch. And somebody said, "I hear something." And they were listening. Mother said she heard a tingling noise and rattling noise, rattle. And it came closer to the igloo they were in, and everybody was real quiet. And they had a canvas there where they come out from masquerade. And whatever it was, come in the door, up to this canvas. And he pulled the canvas to one side. And here he has a long beard, and there was icicles on it, and that's what was making tingling noise. And his clothes was cloth, and that made rattling noise.
Was he on his hands and knees?
Yeah, down on his hands and knees.
Why was that?
Yeah, he got on a road that come from upriver about 5 miles, and that's what really saved his life. They go up and get fish. They had put up in the fall and go haul fish from there.
He was on his hands and knees because his feet were frozen?
Yeah, his feet and hands were frozen. So the old men told their young fellas to go and help him. So they helped him in, and he had a pair of sealskin boots, and they decided they couldn't pull him off. They just cut it open and got his feet out. And they were real white. And they couldn't talk to him, ask him how long he's been without food. And they decided to give him broth only. And they talked it over, and they said, best thing is to gather the dogs from the lower place and the upper and put them together and take 2 husky boys and send them off to his people. They would know what to do for him. They didn't have anything to. They never see anyone froze, really. And so next morning, just before daybreak, they started out with him. And they made it right down there.
Now, where did they go, Tishy?
To Bergman.
To Bergman?
Yeah.
And then from Bergman, where did they go?
They took him over, I guess, over into Fort Gibbon. Go fight that.
And that was a hospital there?
Yeah, hospital or someplace. He came back next year. Pretty good.
He must have been very grateful.
He was. He never even say thank you to the people that took care of him.
They saved his life.
Yeah, but that's the way it goes at times.
What had he been doing down there?
I guess he coming across from the Kobuk River. They come across from the Kobuk River.
And he was
into
coming all alone?
Yeah, all alone.
Walking?
Uh-huh. Had a little sled. He left his sled finally and started crawling on his hands and knees. My mother said that they never learned his name. They couldn't speak to him, really, even ask him how long he'd been without food. And they did the best they could and wrapped him up in furs and took him off.
About what year was that of them?
Just when the white people were coming. A little after.
Around 1895?
Yes, somewhere in there. And my mother said he groaned and moaned all night, never sleep. Nothing to give him. Of course, they didn't do too much sleep either because it kept him awake, you know.
But it's amazing he got by without having his legs amputated.
Yeah, he was lucky. Lucky to get to these people. And they took him right there, quite a long way.
He probably didn't have much consciousness, so he probably didn't know who the people hardly were that saved him.
Yeah, and I think he was so cold that he was just almost out of his mind. And then when he did thaw out, he was really, really in pain, you know. Mm-hmm. Must be. That's what I keep telling my mother.
Could you tell us about the bed that you got?
Oh, there at Battles, cow people were loading up, and Jack Whitescott was next to load up, and they were getting it ready. They went for lunch, and while they were gone, the horse blankets were caught on fire. So we didn't have anything in there. So we drug them off.
At the time,
we were about this size.
About 8 or 9.
Yeah, we. Jesse and I dumped them in the river.
Jesse who?
Jesse. James, her name was.
Was she an Eskimo girl?
Indian girl.
Indian girl.
Half Indian, I guess, half Indian, half white. Anyway, we dumped it in, and then we couldn't pull it out. We couldn't pull the blankets out. They were that heavy for us. And we were fishing there when this happened. And we kept fishing till Jack White showed up, and we showed him what happened and told him we couldn't pull the blankets out. We couldn't. They're too heavy. And he was working with them, and we kept on fishing. And finally he walked up to us and said, "Listen, when you two get married, I'm going to buy you a wedding present." We didn't know what wedding present was. We talked about it after he left, what he meant by it. So we went on. I got married, and he brought me a big double bed, bag, new double bed. Gave it to me, put it right on the outside the door. There stood it there. That was
Jack
my
White.
Bed. Yeah, that Jack White. And the other girl had died in the meantime, so she didn't get her wedding present.
He remembered after all those years?
Yeah, all the years.
Was he one of the early old timers up there?
Yeah. He ran a cow. 4 horses and 8 men. Of course, he had a motor in his. It's a later model than the others. No. Bill Glenn and his brothers ran cows, but they had no motors in it. They were narrow and not too long. Narrow. They could sweep it across and or pull it across if the horses could get across. And they brush it all the way up, so back and forth, go right along the bank.
Hmm. Whatever happened to Jack White?
He died there in Wiseman. In 50s, I think, early 50s. 49, somewhere. Don't quite remember.
He was pretty old?
Yeah, he was real old.
80, 90?
Mm-hmm. He must be in the 80s. Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Hill, they call him Casey Hill. His right name is Arthur Hill. And what was his wife's name? Anyway, they had a roadhouse there in Coldfoot. There was no Wiseman yet. And afterwards, they moved up into Wiseman when Wiseman became a village there. And he ran a roadhouse there. Over the years, she went outside, and he finally left and went outside. And we had a big dance for him, and he baked a lot of bread, and he gave each house a loaf of bread before he left. That I remember. And anyway, he got outside, and he was there in Seattle, and she said one day he came in and he threw his things in the suitcase. Oh, she says, there he goes back to Wiseman, Tycho.
How many years had he been up there?
He's been up there quite a long time. Quite a long time. Anyway, here she found out he went over to Australia as a meat cook on one of the boats. He made 5 trips over there before he satisfied. And he was pretty good after that.
And he settled down?
Yeah, sort of settled down.
And she just sat and waited for him?
Yeah. He'd come in every year whenever the boat comes in. Happy as a lark, because he's working.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Why did they leave the Koyukuk?
They were getting old.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them left because they were getting married. They lived in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. And he had to, he got restless and he had to do something.
Yeah. And he had heart condition this time. What was his time? Anyway, he went into a deep sleep and they woke him up and he got mad and told them why they wake him up from his beautiful deep sleep.
It was really more like a coma.
Yeah. He was gone into a deep sleep, he said. He was beautiful sleep and they had to wake him up. He was mad over that. Plenty mad.
He made good money with his roadhouse business.
Yeah, he made a lot of money.
What did they charge in those days for staying at a roadhouse?
Around $1.50, I think, $1, $1.50.
And then how about meals?
The meals.
Included?
No. The bed, I don't know how much the bed. I don't know too much about that.
But a meal was $1 or $1.50?
Yeah.
That was pretty cheap.
Yeah. There. At that time, everything not high like they are today.
Yeah, but it must have been pretty high if they're up there.
They weren't too high. Not that I know.
Oh, Tisha, here's another story. Tell about the old man who lost his memory and was walking off thinking he was going back to bring food to the people.
Oh, this old...
What was his name?
Newt Ellingson. He was way up in the 80s, had been a big miner there, and in later years he quit mining, but in his mind he had to take things up to the mine, or the people would die. And this day he started out with 30 blow and didn't even have mitts on his hat, gloves. And guy caught up with him.
Who was that?
Harry Leonard.
Harry Leonard caught him.
Brought him back in.
Mm-hmm.
And then got Charlie Ayers to stay with him. That's the commissioner. And then they took him out. Had to take him out. Keep running, always on a stampede.
How would going. He fit?
Oh, every time I go by there, his place, he's always in a rush to get ready. He says, you better go along, there's a big stampede on. And I told him I'd go home and get ready too. Sometime he'd come to my house and say, getting ready. Then I give him Boulder's hot soup. And watch the seed don't run off someplace. He's always on the going on stampede.
Well, then Joe finally had to wire for someone to come in and take him away.
Yeah.
Now, where did they take him?
I think to one of the pioneers' home.
Sitka?
Somewhere. Yeah, Sitka.
How did you get him in the plane?
Oh, this is another guy.
Oh, I see. Who is this other one that ran away?
No, he didn't run away. He had a very good mind. His name was Pete Hassel. And he won't take no pension. And they had to come in and get him. The marshal came and he went over there and he came back and said, can't do much with him. Well, we decided we're going on a little trip on the plane. And we're going to invite him with us, to go with us. And that's how we got him on the plane.
How did you do it now?
We all piled in the plane and shoving each other around in there and hollering and yelling. Got him seated. We all jumped right out the door as fast as we could go.
And where did they take him?
They took him to Sitka. Mm-hmm. And he got medical care there and ate good. He was real good. He took care of a garden there, big garden. He likes the garden.
So then eventually he got got more normal.
Yeah, he was normal.
He was suffering from malnutrition.
Yeah.
Probably this happened to quite a few.
Yeah.
Is he the one who, when he looked at the fellow who was the marshal, he said, what's this fellow doing here?
Oh, no, it's Newt Ellingson was saying about Charlie Irish, the commissioner, and he says, what is he doing here? You got a home. Why don't you go home?
And Charlie, he just had to stay with him night and day.
Huh? Yeah, he just had to sit there with him. He said, what is he doing here?
And this was until somebody finally came for him.
Yeah.
Finally. A lot of these old-timers didn't have anybody, any family.
No. Not that we know of, anyway. May have somewhere. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Yeah. It's quite a thing.
Olaf Murray was up in that country. Do you remember him, Olaf Murray?
Yeah, he was up in there in 1921 or somewhere in there. 21.
Do you remember anything about him, any stories about him?
They came there and they had a little tiny weasel in quite a few things in cages they were hauling along.
He and his brother?
His brother was with him.
And his wife too?
No, he wasn't married at the time he came up into the cargo. Uh-huh. He came up the second time with his wife.
I see.
Yeah.
And she's the one who wrote Two in the Far North.
Yes.
Do you remember?
She did.
Uh-huh. Do you remember their second trip?
Yes, they came again. We were down Bennett's when they showed up, going up north. They had to wait and freeze up and then they left.
Mm-hmm. He was one of the first scientists to study that country, wasn't
he? Yes. The caribou, yeah, the caribou. The caribou never come in very close. Over in South Fork country, they come in. Takes a whole, almost a day to get over there. Hunt caribou in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Not around where we live. Well, later years they came in.
In October of 1948, they really came in.
Yeah.
Because that's when Bill and I were married and went up there. Yeah. There were caribou all over the runway.
Yeah, wasn't that wonderful? They do that later years, but at the time he was there, they were quite a long, long way off, over in South Fork country, way over in there. Everybody go over there and hunt.
How far was that, about 20?
It takes a day's run.
Uh-huh.
They could walk, I think. I've never been over there, so I don't know too much about it.
How many hours was it to get to Big Lake?
Of course, my dog's stopped. I get up to the top of the summit cabin. It's in the afternoon. Next day, I get into my little cabin at the lake about 10. Of course, we leave early in the morning, before 7. Daybreak, and get a get there. Just can't wait to get there.
In the fall of the year.
Yeah, that's early in October, middle of October.
Did a lot of people go up there in October?
No.
Here.
Yeah. Then I've been 2 weeks there, the dogs and I, alone. Do a lot of fishing.
That was a pleasant time, maybe.
Yeah, it was a wonderful time. I'd sit out there and fish till late in the evening, after dark. One night, the dog jumped up. I had three of them with me. They jumped up and started to bark towards the shoreline. And I'm sure there were wolves out there. And I had to gather all my stuff and throw it in a sled and went right straight across the lake to my house. And when I got there, the fish was still wiggling. And it seemed that I held my breath all the way across the lake. And when I was trying to tie up my dogs, I was gasping for air. Next night, I took my gun. Every night, I took my gun, every day. But I never hear anymore. I took my .22.
Did you ever see any wolves?
I see them run across up upper end of the lake, run across there. See them wait.
You see their tracks?
No, see them themselves, upper end of the lake.
Did you see many foxes up there?
Yeah, quite a few foxes. Quite a few foxes. They're running across the lake, running around. A lot of ptarmigan, a lot of rabbits. Beautiful country up there. Beautiful. I never did get enough of Big Lake.
You can see why the Wrights would like it up there.
Yeah. Especially in the springtime. It must be just wonderful. Springtime. Yeah. I stay there for 2 weeks and most of the time I don't have anyone to talk to except my dogs. I had five dogs and I'd drive three each day and then take off two and then drive two more that stayed home. Therefore they get real hardened in. And it's a good feeling to be out there. Yeah, big vacation, no one to talk to. Just my dog and myself and go around the lake.
And you did this every year?
Yeah, I do this every fall.
Now you use the cabin up there?
Yeah, I got a cabin, little log cabin. Yeah.
Who built it?
A friend named Gus Larson built it top of the hill and we bought it and moved it down and George the Greek put it up. George Mangala. What we call him, George the Greek. It's already ready to put right up.
How did you say George Mangala?
Yeah, they changed it to George Mangala when he became a citizen. And he put that up.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Who owned the land up there?
The land?
Uh-huh.
Now?
No, who did then? Who owned the land? It belonged to the state, I suppose?
Yeah, state.
Uh-huh. You didn't worry about who owned what?
No, we didn't worry about what. We'd go in and we'd...
You'd build a cabin where you,
yeah,
where you chose to build?
Yeah.
You didn't have to worry about a title to the,
no,
land or anything?
No, nothing.
Were there any other cabins up
there? And that little cabin served as a post office for them, you know, and they're... keep their vegetables, perishables, and keep a fire there. There's bed, they could stay there overnight.
Mm-hmm.
They can't take it off, you know, take it home.
Mm-hmm.
Some live several miles from there. So that way they keep it there in that little, my
and
little house.
Planes would come in and land.
Yeah,
and
put it there, and of course some, be someone to meet them.
Uh-huh.
And then they keep it warm. That way they get fresh eggs and milk and stuff, potatoes.
Because some people were mining around.
Yeah, way off, about several miles away.